Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hope you are doing well. Today's Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah, chapter 8, verses 18 through chapter 9, verse 1. This reading may be found on page 709 of your pew Bible if you wish to follow along. The prophet mourns for the people. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Hark, the cry of my poor people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is our king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of my people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I may weep day and night for the slain of my poor people. Today's epistle lesson is from the book of Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. The reading may be found on page 208 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible, if you wish to follow along. Instructions concerning prayer. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in the faith and truth. Here ends the reading. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, you guys might think that it's real easy to just come up and read the scriptures. Well, Petra, I am so apologetic this morning, because what was posted in the bulletin last week for the scriptures this week, I changed Monday. I changed my mind. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. So I pulled a fast one. So she was waiting until this very morning before she had the New Testament scriptures to read from. But, you know, she did a great job. Thank you. You know, you can do a job when you've practiced it 10 or 15 times and you're ready to go. It's only when it's on the fly and it's the pressure of the moment that you really deliver. Way to go, Petra. It's being a mom. She's had great practice in it. Well, let's look at this. Now, again, this is one of those things where, you know, you ask the questions who, what, where, why, when. When you're reading, hearing any story, or trying to capture what's being said, by whom, to whom, why, for what reason, when did it happen, and how is it transmitted? Well, these letters, the 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, are a group of letters that the church, the early church, held that they were written by Paul to Timothy and Titus. Well, Timothy and Titus are children of Paul, not, you know, in the biological sense, but in the spiritual sense. Timothy journeyed with Paul many, many times, as did Titus, and Paul held them close in his friendship and admiration for them. And he was always trying to lift them up. But what we get in this first letter to Timothy, as it comes to us, is, you know, in this chapter 2, what does he do? He tells us how to pray. He tells us how to come to God with what? I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone. Think about that. When you think about that, how is it? What's the difference? What's different with a supplication? I am so desperate, Lord, for your assistance. I am so desperate for your help. That's a supplication. That's an on your knees begging and pleading, because there is no other resource. There is nothing else that can save you. Lord, save me now. Thanksgiving. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when someone who's near and dear to Terry and I, who's carrying their second child, had an incident where there was maybe a not so good report that came. And pregnancies, we know, nobody takes anything for granted. You know, I mean, we do on the outside, but when there's someone near and dear to you who's pregnant, you are concerned with each and every aspect of it, because you know anything could happen at any time. Well, she went to the ER and had a report based on a sonogram, and that caused her great concern. Well, she saw her OBGYN, her OBGYN doctor called her to come in and see her the next day, because she wasn't really certain that the emergency room techs were all that good at reading these sonograms. Well, Emily was just fraught with anxiety heading up to see her OB doctor. And she's listening to K-Love. You guys are familiar with K-Love, the radio station? And what do you think they were talking about? Pregnancy challenges, difficulties, the complications that were there. It overwhelmed her. She stopped the car, just prayed, gave it all to the Lord, got to the OB. They did another sonogram. Cervix is fine, not a problem. You know, everything was made right. Now, was anything wrong to begin with? No, but I'll tell you what, Emily was very, very anxious before. But, you know, when she gave it to God, when she offered that up, God answered. He answers. Isn't always the way we want to hear it, but he always hears, and he always answers. So those supplications, prayers, and intercessions, you know what? One of the wonderful things about there's only one God, God the Creator, God the Son of God the Creator, God whose Son came and took on flesh and died for you and me. God, the Holy Spirit, who's with us each and every day to comfort, counsel, and support us. One of the things about Jesus is he intercedes for us. And you and I can intercede for others. We pray for someone else. How many of you know, you don't have to have a show of hands here, but how many of you know someone who isn't saved? Could be a family member. Could be a next door neighbor. You know they're not saved because of everything they've said, because of everything they've done. But you know what? You can pray for them. You know, the Holy Spirit is looking for everybody. God desires for everyone. Matter of fact, it says, in addition to praying for all these in high positions in verse 2. He says, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. 3, this is right and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, who desires everyone to be saved, to come to the knowledge of truth. First point, these prayers, supplications, intercessions, and thanksgivings are for all, not just the high and the mighty, not just for the kings and the emperors and the potentates, not just for our leaders, but for each and every, you know, there are a lot of parents out there that pray for teachers. There are a lot of parents out there who pray for their children. There are a lot of us out there who pray for both of them, teachers and children. Why? Because, golly, they need it. Desperately, they need it. They may not even know they need it, but they need it. God desires that everyone be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Now, in that, does it say that everyone's going to be healthy? Does it say that no one's going to have cancer? Does it say that there won't be automobile accidents? Does it say that there won't be some insane idiot place a bomb in a street and you walk by when it blows up? No. Being a Christian is not some armor that protects you from all of those trials and tribulations that are brought on us by people. He's there with us and will get us through them. Ephesians 6:10, take the full armor, put on the full armor of God. Yes. Those are things in the spiritual warfare. Those are things in the physical warfare. Those are things that, yes, but that's not going to prevent a broken bone. It's not going to prevent a car accident. It's not going to prevent any of those things. They happen because people make choices, and bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. Things happen in life. Verse 5, for there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human. When we do the Nicene Creed, when we say that Nicene Creed, our hymnals, page 880, and we look at the art and we articulate and in our minds intellectually go over what it is that Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit is. What is it that we truly believe? What are the things that we can hold most true? One God who took on flesh, came and dwelt among us, who went to and was taken to Pontius Pilate and was crucified, dead and buried, third day rose from the dead, ascended into heaven. Judge the quick and the dead, and one day he will return. But you know, there's someone who's there mediating for us. You know, God doesn't need a mediator from him to us because he already loves us. He sent the one mediator that we all can use, and that's Christ Jesus. But you know what? You and I need a mediator between him and between us and God, because you know what? He's perfect. He created stuff and he created us, and we're not all that perfect. You and I will sin and fall short of the grace of God. You and I are in desperate need of a mediator. You know, you might not be very mature yet. You could be in your teens. You could be in your early 20s. You could be even 60, and you haven't moved on to perfection, sanctification. You haven't gotten perfect quite yet. So you're still in need of God's forgiveness. So when we're praying those petitions of intercession for other people, when we're praying those prayers of supplication, when we're praying those prayers of thanksgiving, we know that there's one who always hears each and every one of those. We know there's one who's mediating between us and God, because God sees us not as those blemished lambs, but he sees us through the lens of Christ's blood and his death on the cross. White as snow, as the hymn says. So, prayers for all. It is what God wants us to do. He wants everyone to be saved. So we know that we're supposed to always be in prayer. And those prayers take different aspects and avenues, whether it's intercession or forgiveness or thankfulness. We know that God Himself has done it. There is one God. You know, there's in this life, in this world that we are today, that we're in today, how many things out there take up most of your time? How's the song go? Where your treasure is, there your heart is. How much time do you spend talking with God? I'm as guilty as this as anyone. How much of your time do you devote to God? How much are you giving Him? Yet God wants us to come to know Him. Know Him. I think Micah 6:8 says, to know justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. That's what God wants us to do. How many of us are willing to do that? Oh. There is one God and one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus Himself. He gave Himself a ransom for all. When we think about how Christ took on your sin, took on my sin, took on the sins of the world. Why? Because that was the plan that God had for Him. You know, we're called to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and our neighbors as ourselves. But we're to love because Christ first loved us. He's given us the example of love. He's given us the perfect example of love. You and I are supposed to make that effort to live into that love and grace that He has given us. There's another thing that comes up with prayer. Now, when we talk about supplications and thanksgiving, there's an aspect of our prayer that's almost essential. I dare say it is essential. It's the attitude with which we pray. Now, I know when you get the phone call and it's brother, sister, mother, brother, uncle, somebody in your family, a friend, and something has happened in their lives and it's a catastrophe and it's an emergency and they need God's help right then, right there. It could just be that they lost a book bag, but, you know, life's challenges are relative. It's like, what's most important to you at that point in time? It could be that I lost my phone. My brain. But when we're praying, it's an attitude of gratitude. It's an attitude where we're saying that, Lord, Father God, You are the one true God. You are my Savior. You are my rock. You are this for me. Wesley comments, Paul's gratitude stands out all the more because it comes in the middle of hard service. The grateful belief we had better than we deserve. We have better than we deserve. The grateful belief we have better than we deserve. You and I have better than we deserve. And we should be grateful for that. That's our attitude. Instead of taking things for granted, we see good things in life as gifts. Oh, you know that week with Calvin and Nolan? Oh, and Amanda and Kevin. And Terry. I mean, it was so precious. Each and every one of those moments. I mean, there were moments crawling on the floor, getting up. Not another puzzle. Oh, yes, another puzzle. We'll do another puzzle. Up and down off the floor. Oh, that floor is so hard. And Calvin would get a pillow and come over here, Grandpa. Ah. Were you guys smiling? Was I smiling? You think that's not grace? You think that's not grace? You think that's not grateful thoughts? Oh, hallelujah. I know that by the grace of God,
I would not see those.
In 1979, I was on a deployment. I'd just gotten on board the USS Fort Snelling, LSD-30. It was deployed to the Mediterranean. And I'd been on board for about 4 or 5 weeks. And I'd been, when I'd first gotten there, they'd put me in administrative berthing. It's basically a berthing compartment in a certain location on the ship that basically anybody was in there. It was a hodgepodge. Normally what happens is if you're an operations specialist or in operations, you're in a berthing compartment. People of, you know, the engineering people would be in a berthing compartment or several berthing compartments near each other. Well, I'd finally gotten another rack that I was going to be able to move into the operations berthing. So I was going to be able to move in and sleep where the other people that were going to work with me. It's about 7 o'clock in the morning, and I've just gotten off watch. I've gone down and I've eaten breakfast. And I, because I'd had the mid-watch, I could have gone in into that rack, a middle rack, right up next to the bulkhead, the side of the ship, on the port side, the left side. And I could have gone into and crawled into that rack and gone to sleep. Because I'd stood a mid-watch. That was, I mean, I'd been up the whole day before. I was allowed to do this. Well, I was so interested in getting into the new berthing compartment, but I was tired. But I wanted to move. I was tired. And I was worrying or thinking about what to do. And I just, you know, it was like this thought just came on me, just move. You need to move today. You need to move this morning. Well, I moved. I moved all my stuff out of that rack, moved into the new berthing compartment, and I went up to get some fresh air. We're pulled alongside a huge oiler that morning. We're doing about 13 knots, and the USS Waccamaw is alongside on the port side. And we've got lines across, and there's about 100 feet, 125 feet, 150 feet between these two ships. And the rudder is jammed on the oiler. And if you've seen pictures of oilers, they have these big hurricane valves that just open up like this. Well, that metal hurricane bow, when the rudder was locked over hard starboard, that ship collided with the ship I was on. And that hurricane bow proceeded to fold the bulkhead of the ship for about 90 frames. That's about 150-some-odd feet. And it split that bulkhead right at where my rack had been. And it split. And it took where my rack was and crushed it into the overhead and took everything below that and crushed it down on the deck. Split right through that berthing compartment. Had I not moved it, I would have been the only one in the berthing compartment. I would have been the only one killed. I was the only one that would have been in that compartment that had a right to be in that berthing compartment at that moment. And I wasn't there. There were some other people that were shaken up, and there was a lot of damage to the ship. But nobody, praise God. So, attitudes of gratitude have a different meaning when we start thinking about what ifs. And when we pray for others and we pray for our brothers and sisters, pray with an attitude of gratitude. Pray with an understanding that there but by the grace of God go I. Pray with the hope and the faith that God has a purpose for each and every one of us. You may not see it now, but He has a purpose for you. There is one God, and He is Christ Jesus, Lord of all, King of kings. Was it Him tapping me on the shoulder saying, move, don't go to sleep? I think so. That's what I believe. When I walked in there and I looked in that birthing compartment and I saw how the bulkhead had been split so perfectly, I saw where that the crumpled metal was, where I would have been. I may have survived. But by the grace of God. Amen. Be thankful and give grace to our Lord and Creator always. Amen.